Well, we're happy for the presence of all, and we invite you to get the Bible out and follow along as we study from the Word of the Lord. We hope and trust that our study this evening will be profitable. As you see on the screen, we've got lots of pictures of Elvis Presley. And I remember well, in August the 16th, 1977, 30 years ago, this past Thursday, the announcement was made that Elvis Presley had died. People were saying on the radio, "The king is dead." He was described as the king of rock and roll. Yet even today, we still listen to his music. And in fact, in Ecuador, they play a lot of North American music. And we found the station. And so when Angel Morano was driving, we left it on 90.5 and listened to American music. And we heard a couple of songs by Elvis Presley. "The king is dead," they said. 30 years ago, when Elvis Presley died. Maybe the king of rock and roll indeed died on that day, 30 years ago, this past Thursday. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that there is a king that is yet alive. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. They yet remember the king had died, Elvis Presley. But I tell you, we remember the one who is yet alive, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's our study this evening, is to talk about the King of Kings, the one that is yet alive, Jesus, the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when we study about King Jesus, we first begin by looking at the prophecies of the coming of the King. To begin with, there in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, verses 9 and 10, when Jacob was talking to his 12 sons, he says to Judah, "Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, couched as a lion, and as an old lion he shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah." The scepter is the idea of the ruling staff, the rod of a king. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And then look there in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. It was prophesied the king to come, the son of David. "And when thy days," Nathan the prophet tells David the king, "and when thy days shall be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." David is dead. King David is dead, just like his Elvis Presley. He's dead, and still dead, even today. But it was prophesied, "I will set up of thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." According to all these words, and according to this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And so the king was prophesied. Look further in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, another one of the many prophecies of the coming king. "For unto you, for unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." And so we see the king was prophesied in that text. And then one more text of the many prophecies, and we could just give tons, but let's look at one more, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 6. In Zechariah, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both." When Jesus would serve as king,
he would serve also as priest. He served as priest, he served as king. He would fulfill both roles. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about King Jesus.
It was prophesied, it was foretold over and over and over again in many prophecies of the coming of the Messiah,
that Jesus would come. But then, ladies and gentlemen, the king is born, as we read there.
In the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, came into this world. Look at what the angel Gabriel said about concerning Jesus unto Mary.
In verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this was. This is rather unusual, she thought. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the House. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And just as was promised to Mary, that she would conceive a child, in fact, she did conceive a child. By the power of the Holy Spirit, a virgin birth, a miracle takes place.
9 months later, ladies and gentlemen, we read of the birth of Christ. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And of course it goes on to talk about this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was prophesied that the king would come. The time was fulfilled and the king came. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived among men. He lived a life of servitude as he walked among men. And for 33 years he walked upon planet Earth in a tabernacle of flesh like you and I. And there he lived among men. Ultimately, the tide of public opinion turned against him. There were people that were vicious and mean, religious people. We're not talking about people down there in the mafia and the honky-tonks that were mean and had it in for him. We're talking about religious people, and they had it in for him. They were jealous, they were envious, and ladies and gentlemen, ultimately they persuaded Pilate, the governor of the land, to crucify the king. Ladies and gentlemen, the king is crucified, as we read there in the Gospel of John chapter 18. Notice there in John the 18th chapter, beginning there in verse 33. In John 18 and verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And indeed, in fact, he was the prophesied king that was to come. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he said this,
He went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. They wanted a robber instead of King Jesus. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with the hand. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. And so Pilate gives in to the demands of the people as they clamor for him to be crucified. We'll take Barabbas. We don't want this Jesus of Nazareth. We want Barabbas. Unless he would stir up a turmoil there in Jerusalem, Pilate gives in. And ultimately, Jesus is nailed to the cross. Notice there as we pick up in verse 12 of John chapter 19. From henceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto him, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. He bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him, the two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst, and Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And there Jesus hung. Ultimately, finally, the king dies. Verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus died. There it was, crucified. There his life force abated away. Until he ultimately gave up the ghost. And his bodily function ceased. His heart stopped. His breathing stopped. His body began to set into rigor mortis, ladies and gentlemen. The king died. Jesus of Nazareth, they killed him. And the apostles, the disciples, they were disillusioned. They were sad. They were so torn apart. It was not what they had expected. Jesus died on the cross. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the end of the story. Jesus died. But there's a glorious, ladies and gentlemen, promise and picture painted there. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, the king was resurrected. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1 beginning, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn for the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake. Oh, the ground shaking. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He is alive again. He's raised from the dead. Life has once again come into the body of the Savior. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail!" And they came and fell. They came and held him by the feet and worshipped him.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was raised from the dead, resuscitated, coming back from death. Jesus was raised up, and there was incredible joy in the hearts of the disciples. And the miracle of his resurrection is the proof of all proofs that he is the divine Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the dead. It is the sign of signs.
And after 40 days with many infallible proofs, he showed himself to the apostles, to the disciples.
And they went forth preaching the word, ultimately, of the testimony that they gave that Jesus was raised from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the King is alive.
He's still alive. August the 19th, 2007.
Even though the King of Rock and Roll has been dead now for 30 years and 3 days, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's yet alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after those 40 days, he ascended back on high. And in that period of time, between Acts chapter 1, when he ascended on high, and the proclamation of the gospel message when he is proclaimed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the beginning of the gospel age of the New Testament church, of the proclamation of the kingdom of God, in that 10-day period, ladies and gentlemen, Christ was carnate.
Consider the book of Daniel chapter 7. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, it says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven." Now notice, it says that he came to the Ancient of Days. Well, who's the Ancient of Days? That's God. What did he do? He came to the Ancient of Days. When did the Son of Man come to the Ancient of Days?
Well, when Jesus was raised from the dead, after 40 days, he ascended back on heaven. That's Acts chapter 1. What happens when he came to the Ancient of Days? And they brought him near before him. This is what happened, his coronation. He's made King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is inaugurated as the Son of David and to reign upon his spiritual throne in heaven at the right hand of God. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And they shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. And since he ascended back on high to be coronated as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, there he yet reigns in heaven.
Revelation 5 depicts this coronation scene. Look at it there in Revelation chapter 5, when Jesus ascended back on high and was made King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one that was prophesied there in Genesis 49. The root of David, the one that was prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The one who is the son of David," Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, his genealogy proves that he is the son of David. "And hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God set forth in all the earth. And he came and took the book out of his right hand on him, of him that sat upon the throne."
And there, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ was coronated.
And ladies and gentlemen, he still reigns today.
Those who teach the theory of premillennialism blaspheme the worthy name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All they said, oh, someday he's going to rule. One of these days he's going to be king. One of these days he's going to rule on planet Earth for 1,000 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not so. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If the kingdom has not been established, how could the Colossian brethren been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son? It makes no sense. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom. But if the kingdom hasn't been established, how could the brethren have received the kingdom? Makes no sense. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The kingdom has been established. And then in Revelation 17 and in verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, capital L. And King, capital K, King of Kings, and they that are with them are called and chosen and faithful.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, when he ascended back on high, he sat down on the right hand of God upon the throne of his father David. There he is ruling and has been ruling and will continue to rule until the end of time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
He is the King. He has all authority. Ladies and gentlemen, the King was prophesied to come. The King came, lived, and died.
Ultimately crucified. But he was raised from the dead. He was coronated. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one other thing about the King that is alive. Not the King that is dead. The King that is dead, Elvis Presley, he remains in the grave. It's down there in Graceland, there in Memphis, Tennessee. His body is still entombed in the grave and will continue to remain there until the end of time when all will be raised from the dead. But ladies and gentlemen, the King, Christ Jesus, he's coming again.
But he's not coming as a babe. His first coming to planet Earth, he came as a babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's not coming in humility like the first time. In lowliness, in great humility when he came to planet Earth. When he comes the second time, it will not be as a babe. It will not be in humility. It will not be for a sacrifice. No, ladies and gentlemen, when he comes the second time, he is going to come in full regal power. He's going to come in radiance and splendor and glory and majesty as he comes, sitting upon the throne of his glory. Listen to what the King said in Matthew chapter 25.
In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, divine radiance, in the lifetime of Jesus Christ at the transfiguration,
when Jesus was transfigured and his countenance did shine brighter than the sun, it was just a little peak of divine glory, as it were. And when he returns the second time,
it will not be in clothed in humility. No, the Son of Man shall come in his glory. And all the holy angels with him. More than 100 million angels. Revelation 5 says that John heard the number of the angels, 10,000 times 10,000, that's 100 million, plus thousands of thousands, so I don't know how many. But over 100 million holy angels will come with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory.
Oh, the King is coming. The throne of his glory. And all his divine majesty and power and regal authority. And before him shall be gathered all nations. You see, all the dead will be raised. He will speak and all will be raised from the dead, good and evil alike. At a moment of time, as he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Even so, he will speak to planet Earth, and all that are in the tombs, he will say, come forth, and all will come forth from the grave. And all the living will be translated,
and he'll gather every single last human being before his throne, before the judgment seat. And there we will give an account. And there, before the great King, the great judge of all humanity, he will separate us. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. And the nature of sheep are those that have followed and listened in humility to the King of Kings. And to those who have stubbornly, obstinately refused to bow the knee to the Son of God. And to those who died in sin, to those who have rebelled against God. They also will stand before the great King. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to the goats he will say, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a great day coming. And that's the day when the King, King Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, shall return. And when the King comes in all his radiance and power, to those that love God and exalt and serve him, it will be a day of glory, a day of rejoicing, a day of happiness. And for those who have rebelled,
it will be a day of sadness. It will be a day of rejection when we are lost eternally in everlasting fire. Ladies and gentlemen, we raise the question,
have you bowed your knee to the King that is alive? To King Jesus, have you bowed the knee in submission to the gospel plan of salvation? It all begins with hearing the good news about Jesus. We've read about him, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where it began for the Corinthians. Many of the Corinthians came, believed, and were baptized. We've got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, that Christ died for our sin, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day, just as we've read and studied here tonight. We must repent and turn to God. I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13 and in verse 3. We've got to make a turnaround. And then the King commands us to confess him before men. Whoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we must be baptized at the command of the King. Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And when we obey these steps, these commands from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that will make us a Christian. And then we come up out of that watery grave growing, seeking to be faithful unto them. Be thou faithful unto them. Revelation 2 and verse 10. I'll give thee the crown of life. And when we obey these steps and follow the Lord, heaven can be our home. And if we err from the truth, ladies and gentlemen, we need to repent and make things right with God.
The question is, have you bowed your knee to the King that is yet alive, King Jesus?
If you haven't bowed your knee in humble submission to the plan of salvation, would you come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords even tonight? And if we can help or assist you to that end, come and let us know while together as we stand and as we sing.